G'day wherever you are around the world, and thank you for joining us once again. It is time for Hebrew Roots on Truth to You. I'm Jono, and joining me is Jason Spiritual Babies. G'day, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
G'day, Jono. Hello from Ireland.
Hello from Ireland, and happy birthday to you, by the way, my friend.
Thanks very much.
That's right. And also to Nigel, who shares your birthday all the way over in Canada.
Yeah, happy birthday. Birthday twin.
Birthday twin, Nigel. G'day, Nigel. And g'day to Catherine in Michigan, who said of the last one that you and I did, Mr. Spiritual Babies, she said, this was a wonderful word study, a wonderful word study. I love learning the real Hebrew origins of the Torah. I do not speak Hebrew or Greek, so this was very helpful. Thank you also for source information and for Spiritual Babies. That'll be you.
Oh, hello. Thank you very much.
There you go. Thanks, Catherine. Josie said, love you guys. This was such a great study. Thank you both for your time. Thank you, Josie. Anthony said, great study, guys. Big thanks to both of you. So we got a whole lot of... Oh, look, Yana. Oh, g'day, Yana. Yana said, wowee, wow, is what she said.
Thanks,
Yana. We had all kinds of versions open, and they all seemed to conflict with each other. Ah, thank you so much for this study. We were just discussing this over the week, the tithe portion, etc., and there it is, as you would say. My husband brings up this study on the iPad. It was great. While we are not scholars in linguistics, we are studying what the word says and learning Hebrew whenever we can. Nice to hear Jason too. There you are. And is the first time that we've heard him speak.
Up to now, I've just been in the closet with an internet connection.
that's all. Now we've given him a microphone. And we'll be checking out spiritualbabies.com. Well, that's no good because it's spiritualbabies.net, Yana.
I'll have to change it for Yana.
Yeah, change it just for Yana because she's great. G'day to Jono and Tada Rabah. Thank you, Yana, for that. Oh, that's right. No, the next comment, she says, whoops, spiritualbabies.net. Also, great. Thanks, Jono, for the visual. It was so helpful. Well, it was Spiritual Babies who did all the visuals. So it's he's working all of that together. So thank you, Yana. And
thank you, James. I'm looking at a message here from James Heyman. It says, wonderful, Jono. I finally understand what you're saying about those other times and that Psalm 110 came up in conversation. I like the video portion. It was a big help seeing the words to quickly assimilate the meaning. I have hearing loss and trouble, and sometimes I miss the words. So glad it was helpful, James.
Yeah, good one. Thanks, James, and thanks for the comment. LaDonna said, thanks to you both. Finally got to listen today. Well done, Jason. Awesome slides. Kudos to you both. Kudos. Do you have kudos over in Ireland?
I think we probably get it in some health food shops, but so I know what it means. We have the word. We don't often.
You have the word? Yeah. Very good. Thanks, LaDonna. All right, so that is it. Thank you, everybody who commented positively. Really do appreciate the encouragement.
Yeah, it was really I really enjoyed doing the video, and thanks to everyone that came and gave their support for that, for the content and for the way it was delivered. That was good to hear.
How good is he, boys and girls? All the video that you watched, that was done by Jason Spiritual Babies. What's the website again?
Spiritualbabies.net. Or you can visit me on Facebook. Jason for Spiritual Babies on Facebook.
Yeah, Jason Spiritual Babies on Facebook, and spiritualbabies.net is the website, and an awesome job that you did on the video, my friend. Great stuff. Hey, last time during the video, I made mention of the Hebrew Roots movement, and I do realize that there's a lot of people that are listening that are going, what's that? How would you describe it? How would you describe the Hebrew? How can we put that in a nutshell?
I guess the Hebrew Roots movement are a select movement of people that accept Yeshua or Jesus as the Messiah spoken of in their tradition, and they incorporate the Torah into their worship plan. So although they don't believe that doing the Torah will offer them any kind of salvation, they do see it as a form of worship, and they count the instructions of Jehovah as ones that they should be listening to now, and that basically the law has not been done away with.
There you go. I reckon that's probably fair enough. Yeah, so they're basically returning to they've left the Constantinian religion, the Sunday Christian religion, if you like, and they realize that the Torah, the instruction of our Father, is still valid today, and they are pushing into that. And you know, for want of a better phrase, they're returning to the Hebrew roots of the faith. Fair?
Right. Very fair.
Okay, so that's what we're doing. In the interest of the Hebrew Roots movement, which is a wonderful thing, we have decided that, well, you know, what better place to continue these episodes than in the New Testament book, the Epistle to the Hebrews. And so we want to investigate four things. What we're going to do, what are those things? What are we going to do?
We're going to have a little look at the book of Hebrews and check out the Hebrew roots of Hebrews, or the Hebrews roots of Hebrew roots. Or the Hebrew in Hebrew.
We're going to see what it says in Hebrews, but of course the writer of Hebrews quotes solely from the Greek translation of the Tanakh, which is known as the Septuagint. So we're also going to find out what does the Septuagint say, and once we establish that, we're going to go to the original Hebrew and find out what does the original Hebrew say for those who are really interested in the Hebrew roots. And finally, we're going to find out what is the purpose of the passage in its original context.
Right.
So, you know, and, you know, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, it's full of passages from the Tanakh. And so, you know, it's good for that. And what is today's verse? What are we doing?
Today we are doing Hebrews 13:15, which says...
13:15. What does it say?
It says, this is from the King James... By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's our verse. I'll do it in the Holman one as well, so we'll get something to compare it to. Therefore, let us continually offer up to God the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, that confess his name.
That'll do. That's pretty much what I've got in the New King James, too. It's got, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So there's one particular word in question that we want to focus in on. And, of course, Hebrew is written in Greek and quoting from the Greek Septuagint. What is that word, my friend?
It is fruit, which is a...
Fruit!
My Greek isn't great, but that's karpos.
Karpos. And in this particular case, I think it's karpon.
Right.
And fruit. I love fruit. I am a fruit person. And in fact, we just got, it's the season at the moment for the, you know, those big giant grapes with the seeds inside that you sort of crunch and juicy. And we got some of those going on at the moment. It's great stuff. But that's the word karpon or karpos. Is fruit. And in the Septuagint, this is the question, where is the writer, who we don't know who he or she is of the book of Hebrews, but never mind, whereabouts in the Tanakh are they quoting? That is the next question. Now, when I had a look at my my cross-reference Bibles, Mr. Spiritual Babies, I was consistently getting two references, cross-references. One of those is Isaiah, depending on where in the world you are, chapter 57 and verses 18 or verses 19. It depends on, it seems to depend on the translation that one has. In any case, do you have it there in front of you?
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up now. 57, which one would you like?
I mean,
you've got two different verses.
Yeah, 18 or 19. The one, do you have the word fruit in either of those?
Let me look. Wait, you know what? I'm looking at the Holman Christian Standard, and it really doesn't say fruit. That's interesting.
It is really interesting, because this is another funny thing. Some will include the word fruit, some will not. The word fruit actually is not there. That is to say that the Greek word karpon or karpos in the Greek is not in the in the text. But what I do have, I've got my New King James in front of me, Mr. Spiritual Babies, and this is what it says in verse 19.
Okay.
It says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says Yehovah, and I will heal him. It says, I create the fruit of the lips. And to be fair, the word that we're looking for, karpon or karpos, it's not in this verse. However, it gets, you know, there's reasons why they translate it this way. It's not the word we're looking for. It's not a direct quote from the Septuagint. The Septuagint doesn't use the word. And so that's not it, but it does use the phrase in some translations, and therefore Isaiah 57, verse 19 or 18, depending on your translation. So there's one other cross-reference that I continually found in my cross-reference Bibles. You know what that one is?
It's Isaiah 14:2.
Ah, now you said Ozaya.
I did, didn't I? Ozaya. I promised I was going to try and say it more with a better pronunciation. Look,
so this is the confusion. You say Ozaya. You say Ozaya, and it sounds like over there in Ireland, and it sounds like the way that I say Isaiah, right. Which of course the Americans go what, and because they say Isaiah, and of course in Hebrew when you say Hosea, which is what I say in Hebrew, it's Hoshea. We're talking about Hoshea, everyone. Okay.
Hoshea 14:2. There we go.
14:2. What does it say?
It says, and again, I'm reading from the Holman version here. So then we'll pull up something from the King James. Take words of repentance with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sin and accept what is good, so we may repay you with praise from our lips. But I've got a little F next to the praise. So if I follow that down to the bottom of the page here, it tells me that the Septuagint will read with the fruit.
The fruit of our lips.
We can have a look.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Check it out, because that's what the Septuagint says. It does say with the fruit of our lips in Hosea 14, verse 2.
What does your King James say?
Well, the New King James, let me see. I've got a whole lot of translations in front of me, but the New King James in Hosea chapter 14, verse 2, it says, take words with you and return to the Lord and say to him, take away all our all iniquity, receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Now, it doesn't have fruit. It just says sacrifices of our lips, and then it has a little asterisk, right? I love these. And you go down to the itsy-bitsy tiny little writing, and I get my microscope out, and I have a look at what it says there. And it says, literally, and don't you love it when it says literally? And the first thing that comes to my mind is, if this was what it says literally, why didn't you put it in the text?
Right.
But it says, literally, bulls or bull calves, and then it says, Septuagint reads fruit.
Right. So they've got the option of bull calves and they've got the option of fruit, but they decided to go somewhere in the middle, or they didn't go there at all.
Well, they didn't go there at all. They didn't write bulls, as it says in the Hebrew. They didn't write fruit, as it says in the Septuagint. They thought, we'll just put a little asterisk here and let's try and stay out of it. So that's what they've got in the New King James. I'll tell you what's really interesting is in the Hebrew roots world, I don't know if you got a copy of this, but the scriptures, ISR, the Institute for Scripture Research, copy of the scriptures, which is very popular in the Hebrew roots world. I've got a copy of that, and I thought, I wonder what it says there, because the handy thing about it, Mr. Spiritual Babies, is that it has everywhere where it quotes from the Tanakh, in the book of the Epistle of Hebrews in the New Testament, it's emboldened. So it's really easy to look on a page and go,
right.
Oh, he's quoting from the Tanakh. He's quoting from the Tanakh. Oh, look, this is emboldened. He's quoting from the Tanakh. And it's all the way through, and I was really quite surprised at how much the writer of Hebrews does quote from the Tanakh. And in fact, I shouldn't be surprised, because the New Testament, I think, quotes the Tanakh about 32% of the time. But in any case, I went to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, and lo and behold, Mr. Spiritual Babies, it was not in... Now, I'm not saying anything about this. I just find it very curious. It's not in bold. The verse is not in bold. However, now try and explain this to me, because I'm going to go... I'll tell you what, let me go to the beginning in the explanation notes at the very beginning of this publication of the Christian Bible. And this is what it says. It says, highlighting by means of bold typeface those passages in the what they call as the second writings, or also known as the New Testament, they are which quote allusions from the Tanakh. And so they explain to you that, you know, when it's in bold, it's just because it's quoting from the Tanakh. And we just want to point that out to you, which I think is commendable. But in this case, in Hebrews 13:15, in the copy of the scriptures, it's not in bold. However, this is what it says, and I'll read you the verse from this particular translation. Through him, then, let us continually offer up slaughter offering of praise to Elohim, that is, the fruit, with a little C next to it, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, it's got a little C, and I go down to the bottom of the page, and it says, or bulls of our lips, see Hosea 14:2.
Right.
But it's not in bold.
No.
What's that about?
Well, it did explain at the beginning that it was an, wasn't it? An, it was the word illusion.
An illusion.
An illusion to what it says.
Now this is but in the Greek it doesn't say in the book of Hebrews, to be fair, in the New Testament, it doesn't say bulls of our lips. It says fruit of our lips.
Right.
So how can they say bulls of that of our lips, see Hosea 14:2, unless they know something, which we're going to get to. So, you know, I'm not going to speculate any more on that. I just found that kind of interesting. Not in bold, however, they admit that he is quoting from that passage. Putting that aside, what is the word that is used in the Hebrew? What does it say in the original Hebrew?
The word that they use there is bulls. That's parim.
It is. It's parim.
Right.
Now, let me back up a little bit. Karpon. Fruits. What is the Strong's number so people can look it up?
The Strong's number for that is 2590. So 2590.
Okay, there's that one. And parim.
Let me have a look here. It's been. I'm on BibleApps.com at the moment, and I'm looking at all the translations for this verse, and it's hidden. All of the ones that say calves or bulls off page, and the top is full of fruit. So here we go. Parim or par is 6499 par, which is a young bull or steer, and that's a singular. It turns into parim because it's bulls or steers,
bulls,
or young bulls.
Bulls plural. That's right. It's par and the plural is parim, and that's bulls. Okay, so 6499. Now, why the confusion? Why did they get it wrong? We don't know. We're not going to speculate on that. We're going to leave that up to the listener to do their own research and come up with your own conclusion. But the fact of the matter, for those who are interested in the Hebrew roots, what does it say in the Hebrew? It says bulls. What does it say in the Septuagint? It says fruit. Now, it's not as if, you know, Mr. Spiritual Babies, it's not as if they were confused, because we only have to go a few more verses to verse 8. In Hosea 14:8, and it actually uses the word fruit in the Hebrew, which is, if I remember correctly, I think it's peri,
right.
in Hosea 14:8, and in the Septuagint, again, they translate that as karpos, and rightly so.
In fact, I have a JPS version of the Tanakh here, which is I got this week, actually. It's in the Jewish Study Bible, which is great. It's a really great way to study the Tanakh. It's a good translation from the Hebrew, and it's got loads of great study notes. Verse 8 in this particular version, Ephraim shall say, what more have I to do with idols? When I respond and look at him, I become like a verdant cypress. Ah, your fruit is provided by me.
There it is.
Excellent.
Fruit, and in that is fruit, pari, in the Hebrew and in the Septuagint is translated correctly as fruit. So it's not as if they were confused. I mean, pari here in verse 8 and parim, peri and parim, parim in 14:2, they also translated as fruit. Clearly a mistake. Now, why is this important? Well, what does it mean? Let's have a look at the purpose of the passage in its original context. This is Hosea 14. Chapter 14. I mean, it's a beautiful chapter, right?
It is.
So what do you make of it?
It seems to me that this is a please come home verse.
Mm.
You know, please come home and I'll open the door. And in fact, I think we're getting instruction here to the people of what to do to get back into a
right standing.
Right, that's it. Yeah, to be able to go back to God with a clean heart and a clean slate.
Because as it says, I think it's Deuteronomy, right? I think he says, return to me and I will return to you. And this is exactly what we see. And it's beautiful because the whole book of Hosea is about punishment and yet restoration, punishment and redemption and punishment and forgiveness and repentance. And it seems to go back and forth like that. But this is the final chapter and it's so incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, I'm looking at it in the JPS here. And it says, take the words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all guilt and accept what is good. Instead of bulls, we will pay the offerings of our lips, which is much nicer. So, yeah,
JPS. And I love that. And also Chabad.org offers a really nice translation as well. It says, take words with yourselves and return to the Lord. Say, you shall forgive all iniquity and teach us the good way and let us render for bulls the offering of our lips.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, do that.
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. It's really, really nice. And in the JPS, it continues on, and I love this. Assyria shall not save us. No more will we ride on steeds, nor ever again will we call our handiwork our God. Since in you alone orphans find pity, I will heal their afflictions. Generously I will take them back in love, for my anger is turned away from them, and I will be to Israel like dew. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall strike roots like a Lebanon tree. His boughs shall spread out far. His beauty shall be like the olive tree, His fragrance like that of Lebanon. They who sit in his shade shall be revived, and they shall bring to life new grain. They shall blossom like the vine. His scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what more have I to do with idols? When I respond and look to him, I become like a verdant cypress. Your fruit is provided by me. He who is wise will consider these words. He who is prudent will take note of them. For the path of Jehovah, or the paths of the Lord, it says, are smooth. The righteous can walk on them, stumble on them. And the reason why this is so vitally important to interpret correctly is because what it's saying, spiritual babies, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's saying we're going to return. We've been in exile, but we're going to return to you. We're coming back to you without animal sacrifices. We haven't got it, but allow us. Please accept the repentance of our lips instead of bulls. And, of course, bulls is the sin sacrifice, right?
Right. It turns up that word turns up 7 times in the Tanakh.
And,
parim, 7 times, which is interesting because, if I was writing a word down over and over, I'd go back and look at how I translated it before rather than making up, a different translation.
Sure.
But yeah, 7, it's in there 7 times, and it's always sacrifices. Not necessarily sacrifices that are done at temple. There are lots of different times and events that cause these bulls to be sacrificed, but it's always a sacrifice.
Always a sacrifice. There is no fruit sacrifice anyway.
No.
But of course, that's not really what it's... When it says in Hebrews, fruit of our lips, I mean, that's not... I mean, they used to offer a lot of different gods of the day, Greek gods and so on and so forth. There were fruit sacrifices to those gods. But that's not what we're dealing with in Hebrews or in the Septuagint. The fruit of our lips is... They're referring to the repentance, the words that proceed from the lips. The only thing is, that's not actually the words that he used. The word is... bulls, not
right.
Fruit. And it's imperative that we get that right, because what is being said is, please accept the repentance and praise and thanksgiving of our lips instead, in lieu of bull sacrifices. And Yehovah says, I will love them freely. I will accept them. And so there we go.
What I love about this verse in particular is the fact that it's an instruction for people to go and do that. It's telling people what you need to do is return to God,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then ask for forgiveness. And then it expressly tells the people to admit that their idols are wrong, and mm-hmm. that the way they're living their lives at the moment is wrong. And if they do that, they'll be forgiven. I love the fact that it says return and say this. It's not God saying, you must do this. It's them being told that this is what they should do, and then they can go and do it.
Yeah, amen. Amen. It's beautiful. Take words with yourselves and return to Jehovah. Say, forgive all iniquity and teach us the good way, and let us render for bulls the offering of our lips.
Amen. That's lovely.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
It's, thank you.
Again, spiritualbabies.net is the website, my friend. Thank you for doing these wonderful videos. And dear listener, hang about, because there's plenty more in the Book of Hebrews and comparisons between the original Hebrew text and the Septuagint, the Greek translation. And until next time, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's Word.
Shalom.